a healthy church understands, accepts, and embraces healthy change, celebrating God's faithfulness in the past and entrusting the future to Him.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
We are going to take a little trip down memory lane here today. Well, it will be memory lane for a good number of us here, but how far back it goes will vary for each one of us. But whether you have been attending here for one day or for many years, I hope that your heart will be encouraged today by God's faithfulness. You know, we have been talking about change, about the need for healthy change in the church. But however we may feel about change, the reality is that change is inevitable and it's necessary. It's true, though, that there can be good change and bad change, but our aim is to have good, healthy change. And to help us navigate through that process, it is important, then, that we understand the things that don't change as well as the things that do. And undergirding all of it, though, is our unchanging, faithful Lord. So just a reminder what we've seen in this series so far, that there are things that don't change. Whatever changes may come to a church, these are the things that do not or must not change. The Lord of the church, Jesus Christ, never changes, does He? The doctrine of the church, those essential truths of our faith, those do not change. The mission of the church, of making disciples, that has not changed. And the ministries of the church, those basic functions of the church when we gather together to worship, to serve, to be built up, to edify, to proclaim, all of these things do not change. But the things that do change, people, preferences, and methods, those do change. And I think we're going to see visual evidence of that here today in the message as well. So we're concluding our series here then today, asking, who stole my church? Embracing healthy change in the church. Celebrating God's past faithfulness, His present faithfulness, and His future faithfulness. Because you know, God is going to be every bit as faithful to us in the future as He has been in the past, isn't He? So what we'll see then as we go through this, I want us to see that a healthy church then understands, accepts, and embraces healthy change while celebrating God's faithfulness. Celebrating God's faithfulness in the past and entrusting the future to Him. Our text today that we're just going to look at briefly is in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 11. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 11. Before we look at that text here, a little context. Here, God is speaking to His people, Israel, as they are about to enter the promised land. And He warns them that they must take full possession of the land and that they must not allow the current inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, to have any influence on them whatsoever, or else they would be drawn into their idolatry and their debauchery. God was against the evil of the Canaanites. They had been warned. They'd had 400 years to repent, but they had not. And so there is the warning that God would judge them for their sin. But even as He does that, God had better plans for His covenant people, Israel. That His people, Israel, they were to be a holy people. That He had brought them out of slavery into Egypt and given them His law. And now He has promised them an inheritance in the promised land, first given to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they must be careful, though. They must be careful to obey the law, or else they would bring judgment upon themselves. But even so, He would ultimately prove Himself to be a faithful God, and that He would keep His covenant then to them. So let's look at this at Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting in verse 6 then. It says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. So as we look at this text here, there's a few things that I want us to understand and take away from it. First of all, notice the people to whom God is speaking, his people Israel here. He calls them a holy people, a chosen people, a treasured people, a loved people, and God's very own possession, a holy, chosen, treasured, and loved possession. They were to be holy. How many of you know, what does the word holy mean? What does that mean literally? It means what? To be set apart. It means to be set apart. So when we say that God is holy, first of all, he is set apart from all else. He is set apart from the creation, but he is also set apart then in his character, in his righteousness. God is holy. There is no sin in him, but he is perfectly righteous. All that he is, all that he does is right, is morally right. And so then, God then calls a people to make them set apart from the world and to become set apart increasingly more and more from sin and to grow in righteousness, in his own holiness. So he says, Israel, my people, you are a holy people, set apart from all the other nations of the earth. Set apart from sin to be obedient to him, to his statutes, his commandments. A holy people. They are a chosen people, that God chose them. Remember, God's plan was to reveal himself through a people, through a nation, and through that nation to bring a Savior, a Redeemer into the world. And who could he have chosen? Could have chosen any number of peoples, right? But for reasons we'll never understand, or at least not this side of heaven, maybe, that we'll never fully understand. Actually, we'll never fully understand a lot. If you come to Wonder Lake Bible Institute, Bible doctrine, you saw there this morning that we will never fully understand God, will we? But for his reasons, he chose that nation, Israel, to be the one through whom he would reveal himself, he would reveal his law, give his word, and bring a Redeemer, the Messiah. So they were chosen. They were chosen out of all the peoples of the earth. And on what basis? Because they were more faithful than any other peoples on the earth? No, the text simply says because he loved them. Out of his sovereign love, he chose the people of Israel to reveal himself, to give his word, to bring the Messiah through them. And that they were greatly treasured. When you think about that, do you have something in your home that you treasure that's very significant and important to you that you want to protect it? Or hopefully it's not a thing, it's a person. Maybe there's a person that you treasure, right? God treasures his people. He treasured his people, Israel. He treasures his people here in the church. And God then kept the promise. God is a promise keeper. Remember a while back there was this thing of men's conferences called promise keepers? Well, God is the first and the ultimate promise keeper, isn't he? God kept the oath that he swore to their forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And he brought them out of slavery in Egypt in order that they might be his people and inherit a great possession, the promised land. So they're a holy, a chosen, a treasured, and a loved possession. And they were chosen and treasured and loved by a sovereign, faithful, loving, and righteous God. It says in the text there, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, your God, is God. And what? There were many so-called gods all around them, weren't there? But only the Lord, Yahweh, I am. He alone is God. He is the only God. And He is the sovereign Lord, that is. He's in charge of everything in the universe. He rules over all things. He is the sovereign God, only God. But He's also a faithful God who keeps His covenant. You know, when God makes a promise, a covenant, now sometimes there are things that He says that are conditional upon us. If you do this, then God will do that. Now, if you do that, will God do that? Yes, He will. But there are also in Scripture, what? There are unconditional promises or covenants then too. That even though we may fail, God still comes through. He never fails. A lot of people here glad for that, that God is unconditionally faithful to us. I don't know about you, I've failed a lot. And I have a sneaking suspicion I'm going to fail some more in the future. But God never fails, and He is never unfaithful to you, to me. So He is a sovereign God. He is a faithful God who keeps His covenant and His steadfast love. And those who keep His commandments, they will know His love, know His goodness to 1,000 generations. You know, that term there, 1,000 generations, is a figure of speech in the Hebrew Scriptures that means forever, forever and ever. How long is 1,000 generations? Well, you know, if a generation is 18 years, that'd be 1,800 years. Or maybe I'm doing my math wrong, something. But no, it's not literal like that, right? It is what? It means forever. Forever and ever. That God faithfully keeps His covenant forever and ever. But there's a warning. God is a righteous God, though, isn't He? He is sovereign. He's faithful. He's loving. He's merciful. He's righteous. Because He's righteous, He must judge. And He will judge those who hate Him, who rebel against Him. And therefore, because of that, then, what? We must be careful. We must be a carefully obedient people. A carefully obedient people. Carefully study His Word. Be obedient to His commands, His statutes. I'm wondering, you might wonder, now what does that have to do with you and me here today? Here in this text, God is speaking here then to His people Israel some 3,400 years ago. How does that relate to you and me? Well, I'd ask you, let's take another look at what it says on that screen here. As God says this to His people Israel, they are a holy, chosen, treasured, and loved possession. He is a sovereign, faithful, loving, and righteous God. The people are to be a carefully obedient people. Does that sound an awful lot like the church also? Sure is. Yes, He was speaking to His people Israel in a particular place at a particular time as they were about to inherit the promised land. But what God said to them is also true of us in the Scripture, isn't it? Are we to be a holy people? Are we chosen, treasured, and loved by God? Absolutely. Is our God sovereign and faithful, loving, and righteous? Absolutely. Does He call us to be carefully obedient to His Word? Absolutely. So do you think He's going to be faithful to you and to me forever and ever? I think so. Absolutely. So God was faithful to His people Israel, even when they were not always faithful to Him. He was faithful to them. God has been faithful to the church. And I don't just mean Wonder Lake Bible Church. It's part of the church, but the church, the whole church through all time. God has been faithful to the church, even when the church has not always been faithful to Him. And if we talk for just a moment about this particular local assembly, Wonder Lake Bible Church, has Wonder Lake Bible Church always been perfectly obedient and faithful to God? I wish I could tell you the answer was yes, but the answer is no. If you've been attending here one day, if this is your first day here, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We're not a perfect church, okay? So if you're looking for that perfect church, you haven't found it. But what I pray that you will find here is we are a healthy church, which is seeking to better know and serve and love our God and grow in our faith. But has God been faithful to this church, even when this church has failed him? Yes, he has. He has. And how about you? How about me? Have you failed God? Have I? But has he proven himself faithful? Yes. This doesn't mean that God doesn't discipline us. He does, doesn't he? But he does it out of love as our Heavenly Father, doesn't he? And he proves himself faithful. So your God, my God, he is sovereign, loving, righteous, and faithful to 1,000 generations, faithful forever. I want us to reflect then today about this theme of God as being faithful, our faithful God. That he is faithful to you and to me. He's been faithful to Wonder Lake Bible Church over the years. And in showing that, I'd like us here, where I said before, we're going to take a little stroll down memory lane. Well, it's memory lane for a number of us here. For some of us, this is going to be all new information here. I remember some of these things, but a lot of them, I wasn't here then. But there were some names that there were some folks that I knew these names, but I didn't have a face to go with it. And now I have that. So we're going to reflect a little bit here on God's faithfulness to this church, Wonder Lake Bible Church. And Linda, correct me if I get anything wrong here, because I'm sure I will. I'll get some details wrong, okay? But here goes. We're celebrating then. Let's celebrate God's past faithfulness to this church, Wonder Lake Bible Church. Many of you may know, if you don't, you know that Wonder Lake Bible Church actually has its roots as a Sunday school ministry. It began as a Sunday school ministry in 1945, in the spring of 1945. It eventually then grew into a full church. And they had their first worship service on Palm Sunday in 1947. And the founding pastor was Reverend Frank Anderson. And he served from 1947 until 1955. But it wasn't called Wonder Lake Bible Church then. It was called the Wonder Lake Gospel Center. At least that's one of them. I saw another little variation of that. But the Wonder Lake Gospel Center. And it operated out of a home. And I think eventually maybe it was another home at one point there. I'm not sure about that. But it operated out of a home. They eventually would call their second pastor. Their second pastor was Richard Wright, Pastor Wright, who served the church then from 1955 to 1981. That time the church became Wonder Lake Bible Church then. And the first church building was built on Hancock Drive. And it looked like this right here. You know, that building is still in existence today. Now, if you drive down there, you're not going to see that. But you will see that building there. It looks a little different now. It's now Justin's Wonder Lake Funeral Home, which I'm not sure how I feel about that. I hope it's not a prophecy, you know. But if you drive by there, you can see that main framework there. You know, and I noticed as I was looking at there, you see the steeple up there. Looks kind of familiar, doesn't it? I don't think that's the same one that's up there now, but it's very similar. It looks like that then. Here is the sign from that church. And I noticed something there. See, at the bottom it says, "Where will you spend eternity?" Right? Even there was that evangelistic gospel thrust, the concern for people for their spiritual eternal welfare and well-being. This is what the church looked like inside then at that time. Said they had a vibrant Sunday school ministry. Here is one of the Sunday school classes going on there in the building there. Here is another Sunday school class with a man named Kurt Messimore, That's a name I know, but I never had a face to go with it. But there's Kurt Messimore with the junior boys. And right there is a Sunday school class, the junior girls, with Irene Menalasino. Now, I knew Irene. She didn't look like that, but I knew Irene for a time. Here's a Sunday school class with Doug Anderson and Sherry Sweatman, I believe it was. But you probably know them better as our missionaries, Doug and Sherry Anderson. So they were here. They were, well, not in this building at that time. That was the old building. That's where they met. And then how many of you love Harvest Home? You enjoy Harvest Home? We didn't make that up. We didn't start here. There is Harvest Home. Now, I don't know what year it was, but it was a long time ago. I know that. But there was a Harvest Home celebration. And you know what? I noticed something here. You see, I notice things. I'm a big picture person, and yet I can sometimes be oddly obsessed with details. Right, Katrine? So, or right, Mary Beth, the bulletin? Right? So I noticed something. Look on the clock. Well, you probably can't see the clock there. It looks like it's about 4:37 p.m., I'm guessing. I'm guessing it's not a.m. So I'm thinking, is that why we always have Harvest Home at 4:30? Was it always at 4:30? Maybe. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But there's Pastor Wright in his office there. He is with the Lord now, Pastor Wright is. I never had the opportunity to meet him. When I first came here, he was living in Florida, but then he passed away a short time after, so I never had a chance to meet him. But I did have the privilege and the pleasure of getting to know his son, Rick, pretty well. And I've been told that if you know the son, you know the father. That Rick is very much like his father. And I thought, you know what? I think there's a sermon illustration in there somewhere, isn't there? There's a man that I've known that name, I've heard that name, and this is Mr. Repke. He is with the Lord now as well. And here's a couple of names. Boy, I've heard these names often, but I've never known who they are. That's George and Ruth Brabenick. And they are with the Lord now. As you know, we're working on a new project of a kitchen. God willing, by the way, God willing, that is going to be done by, I'm hoping, April, by the way. But before that, in another building, there was another kitchen. Here was the VBS kitchen in the 1960s. A little different from our kitchen, from the current kitchen we have, right? And very different from the one that we're going to have. But also in the 60s, in the mid-1960s, in 1965, there was a wedding at the church. A beautiful young couple was married at the church. And the bride here is the lovely Sandy Larson. And the groom is young Gregory Mealing. But you may know them better as Skip and Sandy Mealing. Next up is a trio of lovely young ladies named Linda, Sandy, and Joy. Now, I noticed something. As you know, I noticed things. And I noticed that Linda and Sandy are carrying their Bibles. So all I have to say is I sure hope Joy has hers underneath that jacket. Or else I'm going to have a word with her at the next lunch bunch. Here is a lovely woman named Mary Lou with her daughter Marla. Mary Lou's in Florida, so you can give her up a call, wish her well, and tell her, hey, she was on the big screen today at church. Here's another lovely mom named Phyllis with her daughter Judy, Phyllis and Judy Batdorf. Here are the lovely and talented Leanne Miller and Bev Morgan, I believe that is, right? Yep. But you know, eventually, as the church grew, it became necessary to build a new facility. And so property was purchased at 7500 Howe Road, and construction began on the property in the late 1960s. Here is the foundation of the building. And right now, you are here. We also used to have a bus. And apparently, the bus was named Barnabas. Is that correct? I didn't know that. I knew there was a bus, but it was named Barnabas. That's very clever, don't you think? Well, Barnabas was a very hard worker because he not only picked up kids for Sunday school, he also apparently helped with the construction of the new building here on Howe Road. Barnabas is with the Lord now. Here are Otto and Irene Menalesino. And they are with the Lord. Here you see a little progress in the construction there.
It seems like it's always winter.
It's like it's always winter, right? Always winter, never spring. Sounds like something a C.S. Lewis character might say, right? Oh, always winter, never Christmas. Is that what it is? Oh, I don't know. Okay. Yeah. But there you see some progress and the snow. You see, the more things change, the more they stay the same, right? Now, there's something you probably recognize that because you are here. And I've always wondered about this. I knew it existed, but now I've seen it. Here's a side of the building I have never seen, and probably a number of us have never seen either. Because this, right now, is where the family center is. This is where our new lobby is, and this is where the family center is. But that was... So when you come in, you still see that, and you see that, but we don't see this, because this is the lobby and the family center now. Here are some construction men hard at work. Mm-hmm. And I believe that young man right there, is that young Gregory Mealing there? Is that you, Greg? I think so, yeah. That looks like you. Funny you should mention that. I don't know if you heard it. Barb just said, coffee's always been a big thing here at the church, as Jim takes a swig there, right there. I think. It has been, and I noticed a theme. And in fact, I wanted to mention a guy named Russ here. See this guy right here? That's Russ Wright. See how he has food and a cup of coffee there? I noticed he appears in a number of these pictures here. Not all of them that you're going to see here today, but he appears in a whole bunch of these pictures because he was a very good, hard worker, a faithful man who loved to serve God by serving people and using his skills to help people and to build things, to fix things. He helped me when I first moved here. And when I bought my first and only house here in Wonder Lake, he came in and did a lot of plumbing work. And you know what? He never sent me a bill either. But I noticed, though, he was always eating something in all of these pictures or drinking coffee. And I kind of wondered, how did he ever get any work done? But he did, a lot of it. And he is with the Lord now. Here's a hard worker named Warren Monahan. Very kind and faithful man.
He's the reason we have those gold chairs.
He is the reason. I did not know that. Okay, he is the reason for the gold chairs. They used to be in here. Now we have them for the family center. But he and his wife are with the Lord now. Here are some more hard workers. And we thank you, Lord, for their service. Well, the building was completed and it was formally dedicated in 1971. And here is Pastor Wright at the dedication ceremony. And interesting enough, they put a little cornerstone. I don't know if you knew this. Oh, there's the dedication ceremony. There's a little cornerstone that if you go out these doors over here, these glass doors in the front, come around on this side, on that side, you'll see, you have to go behind, there's a tree, a bush there now, but it's behind there, and you'll see this cornerstone that looks like that, 1971. I recently found out that that contains a time capsule, that there are objects in there that were put in there, including a list of all the charter members of the church. And so I thought, did you know that Wonder Lake Bible Church is going to be celebrating its 75th anniversary in the spring of 2022? Wouldn't it be fun to go out there and open that up open that time capsule up. Sure would see was to take a look at that. And maybe put a few things in there from our time as well. And close it back up. Perhaps then, God willing, WLBC will then open that capsule on their 100th anniversary in 2047. And maybe even invite their 82-year-old retired former pastor, Dan Cox, to attend. Hint, hint, Kirsten and Dylan. Well, there is the completed building. And no snow, but somebody really needs to mow that lawn. So, Ralph, you better fire up your tractor and hay baler. But if you look on the right side, you'll see there's Barnabas going back to doing what he did best. Barnabas is with the Lord now. There's Roy and Isabel Swanson. Those are names I've heard. I'm assuming they are with the Lord now. Here is a faithful Sunday school teacher named Gert Diedrich. And she was very kind to me when I first came here in 2001 to a young kid who really didn't know what he was doing yet. And she's with the Lord now. And here's a lovely woman named Charlotte Tetzner. And she is with the Lord now. Do you know that once upon a time, before the Family Center was built in 1995, chairs and tables had to constantly be arranged and rearranged here in the sanctuary. Aren't you glad that we don't have to do that anymore? Here was a ladies' dinner then. There's a young woman in that picture there named Linda right there. And over there's a young woman named Katrine. And behind her, I believe there's a woman named Sue. Isn't that Sue Menalosino, it looks like there? Here's another picture from the ladies' dinner. I believe that is Ruth Brabenek.
Ruth Osterlin.
Ruth Osterlin. Okay, I just saw Ruth. I mean, okay, good. See, I told you, I need to be corrected. Ruth Osterlin. Along with that young woman, Katrine, again, right there. The ladies were thankful to these fine men who worked hard to serve them. There's Otto Menalosino. And would that be that Greg Mealing guy again? You know what? I like this guy right here. I like his attitude. You see that? I just like that. If you can see that, I like his attitude there. I just thought I'd mention that. Well, in 1982, a new pastor came named Merle Conklin, and he served until 2000. And here he is with his wife, Charlene, his daughter, Deb, and their son, Mike. Here is the musical worship team from that time. That picture would have been taken right over here. And here is their daughter, Deb Conklin, with her Sunday school class. And she is with the Lord now. And here's another picture of that faithful Sunday school teacher named Gert Diedrich, who has received her reward from her Lord. Here's another Sunday school class with a teacher named Katrine, with her 80s hairstyle. And there's a young man in the front named Ryan, right there. Here's another Sunday school class with a lady named Lynn, right there. Well, the time came for an addition to the building, and so the Family Center, a new lobby and restrooms were added to the building in the mid-1990s. And this handsome young man there named Bob Menalosino oversaw the construction. Next to him is Greg Mealing Sr. Bob lives in Florida now, but the next time he comes to visit, he can stand in that same spot there and get a complimentary cup of coffee. Right, Kirsten? Here is Bob working on the Family Center, and they did a terrific job, didn't they? That working on the loft above the Family Center is handsome young John Jolie and a handsome, even younger man named Mike Mealing. Now, I need to put an end to some speculation here. This is not how Dave Selleck feels about my preaching.
Rough night, Dave?
Yeah. Or that, either. I that was my first thought, and I decided to go with the preaching joke instead. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm no plumbing expert, but I believe Dave is working on one of the new bathrooms there. I'm thinking that might be the women's restroom there. Here are Jim and Peggy Strasser standing in the not-yet-complete new lobby. Here are Jim and Essie Repke, who would eventually serve for a time as missionaries. And here's that beautiful young couple from the 1965 wedding picture. And here is a handsome young man named Scott with his baby daughter, Kirsten. Well, in the year 2000, WLBC began a search for a new pastor, and eventually they decided to take a chance on a young, relatively inexperienced first-time pastor named Dan Cox. And time will tell how that worked out. Well, just so that we are not here all day, only a few more pictures remain for now. Actually, these are the pictures Linda gave me. We didn't have any, so we're just skipping ahead to our sign dedication in 2014, where we had an old sign out front that faithfully served the church for over 40 years. The time came for a new sign. It was formally dedicated on October 19th, 2014. How do I know that? Well, because it says it right there on the sign. And there's that handsome young couple, Skip and Sandy Mealing again. Beautiful sign, isn't it? Not too long ago, we had a visit from a distinguished theological scholar named Martin Luther. And here he is explaining the meaning of the five solas of the Reformation to us as we gathered in the family center for an authentic German dinner. We even had a couple of somewhat authentic German guests for the dinner. But you know, one of my favorite days on our church calendar is our Christmas Eve service. And here we are gathered for our Christmas Eve in 2017, once again joyfully proclaiming the birth of our Savior. So I hope you enjoyed that little trip down memory lane. But more important than remembering times past is remembering God's faithfulness to this country church for almost 73 years now. There have been a lot of changes over the years. And we have had our fair share of challenges over the years. And dare I say, we've had our fair share of failures at times. But God has proven himself faithful to us again and again. And by the way, I'd like to have some kind of a little church history archive display so we always remember our history and thank God for his faithfulness. So we celebrate God's past faithfulness. We celebrate God's present faithfulness. We're seeing that now. Just one example is with this kitchen project. I told you, if you were part of that meeting afterwards, I told you the story of that. I'm not going to tell it again here now in the interest of time. But God was incredibly faithful to us in that. And my faith grew because I have to admit, I was a little daunted by that until God spoke. You know, that'd be a good book title, wouldn't it? Until God spoke. There you go.
Preceded by "Don't Sweat the Small Stuff."
That's right. Or "Don't Freak Out." Yeah, there you go. Well, you're going to have a chance to celebrate God's faithfulness, present faithfulness, a little bit of the past too if you want. February 16th, our service that day is going to be a concert of praise, thanksgiving, and prayer. To give thanks and praise for God's faithfulness to us. And to pray for our needs and concerns and pray for God's direction for our vision for this church going forward. We need to trust God's future faithfulness. Our 2020 vision rollout will be in March. And I wonder, what is God going to do in the years ahead? Now, I don't know the specifics of that, but I do know that it's important for all of us to think, to pray, to obey and to trust our faithful God in the days, the weeks, the months, and the years ahead. So what? I want us to remember that a healthy church understands, accepts, and embraces healthy change while celebrating God's faithfulness in the past and entrusting the future to Him. You know, as I was looking through all of those pictures there, my aim, my goal was to celebrate God's faithfulness to us, and I pray we've done that. But I realized, unwittingly in doing so, you know what we just saw there also? We saw a powerful visual representation of the fact that things change. There's some things that must not ever change. What must not change? The Lord of the church, Jesus, doesn't change. Our doctrine must not change. Our mission must not change. Our ministries must not change. But what does change? People, preferences, methods. So hold firmly then to the things that do not change. Accept the things that do change. Carefully obey the Word of God. And celebrate God's past faithfulness and entrust the future to Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You are the unchanging God in whom we can put our complete trust and confidence. Thank You, God, for Your faithfulness to each one of us here individually, but to this church over the years. Thank You for the many, many men and women who served You faithfully here, Lord. Thank You for their salvation, for their eternal hope. Thank You, Lord, that we are going to see them again. Thank You, Lord, that we do have that eternal hope. And Father, I pray that we here as a church here, that we would hold firmly to the things that do not change. And then eagerly look forward, Lord, to You, to the things that You're going to do in the days, the months, weeks, years ahead. We trust You, Lord. Thank You that You're a faithful God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.